The time is 6 o'clock from Radio Ghana in Accra. Here's Mercy Sowa with the news. In the headlines, police flex security muscle in readiness for December polls. Vice President Enisa Arthur to assess situation at Enugu border as part of 3-day working visit to Western region. Court upholds writ against National Accreditation Board by 98 dismissed students of Methodist University College. Ghana ready to contribute to ECOWAS standby force in Mali. Dismissed ANC youth leader Julius Malema due for court today on corruption charges, but supporters smell political manipulation. And President Obama urges world leaders to speak up against religious extremism. First, a summary by Eugenia Jumo.
Barely 71 days to the general elections, the police service have displayed various security apparatus sending signals to adequate preparedness for any eventuality during the elections. Among the numerous security equipments are armored vehicles, vehicles that fire different types of tear gas and rubber bullets. The Director General of Operations, COP, John Kudalo, said Facebook, Twitter and other social networks addresses will be made available to the general public for the snap communication. Vice President Enisa Arthur will today begin a 3-day working visit to the Western region to assess recent happenings at the Enugu border. He will also visit some constituencies and inspect the extent of work done on some major projects in the region. The Minister of Defense, Lieutenant General Henry Smith, has announced that Ghana will contribute to the ECOWAS standby force to restore peace in Mali. Speaking at a Meet the Press series in Accra, Lieutenant General Smith said plans are far advanced to execute this decision by ECOWAS leaders in collaboration with the Ghana Armed Forces. And South Africa's firebrand politician Julius Malema is due to appear in court today on corruption charges. He's accused of abusing his former position as head of the ruling African National Congress youth leader. Mr. Malema's supporters say the charges are politically motivated, as he has been a vocal opponent of President Jacob Zuma.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The police service has assured the public of its preparedness for the December polls. The police command yesterday displayed various security apparatus sending signals of adequate preparedness in case of eventuality during the elections. Among the numerous security equipment displayed were mobile clinic vans to handle medical emergencies, various armored vehicles such as RG-12, which will be deployed at flashpoints to contain riots. Also exhibited were vehicles that will fire various types of tear gas and rubber bullets. The police also conducted journalists around the Joint Operations Center, where all media outlets in the country are monitored. Information gathered here analyzed for quick decision-making by the Police High Command and at the Joint Operations Center are reconnaissance vehicles which have cameras mounted on them to capture situations. The police service says Facebook, Twitter and other social network addresses will be made available to the public for snap communications. The Director General of Operations, COP John Kudalo, said the exhibition is not to put fear in the public, but to create an atmosphere for peaceful elections and to assure the people that the police is ready for the task and protection of life and property. COP Kudalo appealed to the public to support the efforts of the police. Parliament has approved the Public Election Regulations 2012 CI-75. The constitutional instrument replaces the existing CI-15 in order to strengthen the electoral system. With the introduction of the biometric registration and verification during public elections, it has become imperative for CI-15 to be replaced with a new instrument that will take cognizance of the new addition. Presenting the report for the approval of Parliament, a member of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee of Parliament, John Tia Kologu, said the Electoral Commission deemed it fit to make new regulations to replace CI-15 in order to incorporate the reforms introduced in the electoral system to give it legal backing. Augustus Akwai brings the details.
The Electoral Commission, EC, has since 1996 been conducting public elections under the Public Elections Regulations CI-15. The EC has over the years made reforms in the electoral system to make it more efficient. The latest of these reforms is the introduction of the biometric registration system and the biometric verification of voters. A member of the Committee on Subsidiary Legislation, John T. Akologo, said the new CI-75 will give legal backing to the biometric process.
CI-75 is to give legal effect to the introduction of the biometric registration and verification of registered voters and other matters connected with the election process in the country.
The chairman of the committee, Kwame Osei Prempeh, said the new CI will go a long way to streamline the activities of polling officers during elections.
If you know the final deciding officers and polling assistants and polling agents at the stations, if each of them perform their function very well, it will help in the solve the problem that you get at the polling stations.
CI-75, among others, states in Section 30, Clause 2, that voters shall go through a biometric verification process to cast their ballots, while CI-15 empowers the EC to establish additional polling stations for an electoral area. The new CI-75 goes further in Section 16, Clause 4, to say that no new polling station can be established within 42 days to an election.
Augustus Akwe reporting. A program officer of the Ghana Integrity Initiative, Lendo Furukwafu, has emphasized the need for the electorate to hold politicians accountable. She said the electorate must not be taken for a ride. Mrs. Kwafu noted that the country has enough legislation with prescribed punishment for corrupt practices. It is therefore incumbent on all to uphold integrity in every dealing to reduce corruption in the country. She spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
As we have not done it all so far as the fight against corruption is concerned.
What will you prescribe as the best form of punishment for those involved in corruption?
We have so many legislations that have documented sanctions that should go alongside anybody found guilty of engaging in corruption. And the subject is not for me to prescribe, but also to implement what the laws are saying. Unfortunately for us in the country, even though we have so many of these legislations from the Police Procurement Act, and they are actually transparency enhancing legislation, so if they are being implemented well, then the fight against corruption is automatically supposed to gain some good results. But so far as we are not implementing it well, and people who are found to be guilty are not punished enough, then we will continue getting the result that we are getting. It is about time that we hold them accountable to any political statements they are making during this period, so that when they come to government, then we are able to identify people engaging in serious form of corruption and nothing is being done. We play back whatever they said to us. It is about time we, the electorate and Ghanaians in general, should not be taken for a ride. When it's getting to this time in the election, we have so many promises, and now I can see most of the political parties coming out with whatever their recommendations for the fight against corruption is concerned. We should hold them accountable.
A program officer of the Ghana Integrity Initiative, Mrs. Lindo Furukwafu. Vice President Parkwisi Mr. Arthur will today begin a three-day working visit to the Western region. As part of his tour, the Vice President will visit the border town of Elubu and meet security agents in the face of recent happenings at the Ghana-Cote d'Ivoire border. He will also take time to visit some constituencies in the region, including Jomoro, Elembele, and Axim, and meet with Western Regional House of Chiefs. The visit will also afford the Vice President the opportunity to know at first hand the extent of work done on some major projects that are ongoing in the region. Vice President Emisa Arthur will pay courtesy calls on traditional authorities, interact with the people, and address the rank and file of the NDC. He is expected to also use the visit to solicit support and encouragement to enable him to assist President John Mahama finish the unexpired tenure of Professor Atta Mills. As a running mate, Vice President Emisa Arthur will also use the trip to galvanize support for the NDC's campaign. Today's trip comes 4 days after the Vice President's visit to the central region. Cote d'Ivoire has given an indication that its side of the border will be open today. The border has been closed since last Friday, following an attack on that country by people suspected to be rebels supporting ousted leader Laurent Gbagbo. Chief Collector of Customs Service at the border, Samuel Bwama, tells Gloria Anderson that the closure of the border has created congestion. He hopes it will be opened as promised.
The Ivorian authority came down as a sequel to the meeting we held yesterday. And when they came, they gave us the meeting that the border was still be closed for today. We are in contact with the big man in Abia.
Did they give any indication when it will be opened?
They hope maybe tomorrow the border will be open because we express our concern about the closure of the border there. But Elubo here is the focal point of the West African Trans West African Highway, and commuters from Nigeria, Benin, Togo and Ghana use this point as the exit to La Côte d'Ivoire, and they are concerned. They also express the same concern, so they are in touch with their superiors in Abidjan, and they hope that tomorrow we shall get to their waiting for them.
Apart from the border issues, what other issues did you discuss at the meeting?
The piling up of vehicles at the both sides of the border. Importers, exporters are all stranded. So it is a major concern to both of us. The place is congested, and we want the movement of vehicles to be easy for the congestion aside. And many traders, especially Ghanaians, who have also gone to the Ivorian side, are still locked up there with their goods in anticipation that they can get an easy access to cross, but they are still locked up. So it is a concern, and they have also expressed the same sentiment. When we met.
Should in case the border is not opened tomorrow, what other alternatives do we have?
We don't have any other alternative. The issue now is it should be taken over at the highest level of governor. That is what they were saying, that now that at the highest level of the political divide, we are talking as of now. So probably by tomorrow, something good will come out of the meetings that's going on.
Chief Collector of Customs Service at the Ghana-Côte d'Ivoire border, Samuel Bouama, talking to Gloria Anderson. The Human Rights Court in Accra has upheld the writ filed against the National Accreditation Board, the Ministry of Education, and the Methodist University by 98 students for their dismissal for entry into the college without the requisite qualification. The students maintained that the action by the three institutions was illegal. Speaking on Behind the News, lawyer for the student Gary Nimakumafu said he disagreed with the action of the authorities because his client's diploma certificates were approved by the board before the university admitted them.
Students of Methodist University, I think somewhere in June, about was a directive from the National Accreditation Board indicating that there were certain deficiencies in the admission requirements of these students. And therefore, the NAB ordered that the school should withdraw all these students. Failure to pay, they will lose its accreditation. The student being agreed by the decision of the NAB and the school to withdraw them, but an action in Human Rights Court to challenge the decision of the school, the NAB, the Ministry of Education, to have them withdrawn from the school. But today, we want to move the national application that we want the student to be in school while the main matter is being battled before the Honorable Court. And the court has acceded to a prayer that it would be injurious for the students to be out of school while the matter is pending. You see, Magister, let me clarify something here. People are getting the wrong conception that the student entered with worthy results. That is not so. They entered the school with diploma certificate. And these things were captured in the accreditation and reaccreditation which the school itself sent to NAB to have it approved. You know, so prior to the publication of these entry requirements, NAB itself had approved that the school can go ahead and admit the student based on these entry requirements. If you look at page 5 of the program content information, it is captured there clearly that the NAB had at all material time been aware of the entry requirements of Methodist University. So it is not news that in several publications all the way from 2000, 2001 to date, the same publication has been exhibited. So NAB cannot say that all these years they were asleep and they didn't see anything. They can't say that.
Lawyer for the student, Gary Nimakumafu, talking to Radio Ghana. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Police flex muscles in readiness for December polls. Vice President Emisa Arthur to assess situation at the Libu border as part of 3-day working visit to Western Region. Court upholds writ against National Accreditation Board by 98 dismissed students of Methodist University College. Ghana ready to contribute to ECOWAS standby force in Mali. dismissed ANC youth leader Julius Malema due for court today on corruption charges, but supporters smell political manipulation, and President Obama urges world leaders to speak up against religious extremism. Do stay with us.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The NPP says President Mahama and the NDC have nothing good to offer Ghanaians. According to the party, President Mahama's government has presided over corruption. Therefore, they must not be retained in power. Speaking on Behind the News, the national youth organizer of the NPP, Anthony Kabu, said Ghanaians must not allow such practices to be perpetuated anymore.
The huge corruption issues that have gone on in this government are untenable. If you come to even think about the cost of a six-unit classroom block, that has skyrocketed in the last 3 years, and it has skyrocketed to absurd levels in the last 3 years. It's unacceptable in a single digit inflation Ghana. So there are more important questions around John Mahama and his candidacy for president, which the Ghanaian people need to interrogate. Of all the issues they raised about corruption against the NPP, tell me if there is one fly of the NPP who has been incarcerated or found guilty in any cause of competence jurisdiction in our country. They have never been able to arrest anybody in the NPP for corruption. Not even one fly in our party. How do you then begin to say that this is a party that is so corrupt, this is a party that has no right to talk about corruption, when you cannot point one single person in the NPP who has been indicted for corruption? So what are they talking about in terms of corruption? The NPP is as clean as anything. There is no issue of corruption that can be tainting the NPP. And so we have the moral certitude to tell the Ghanaian people that these people are corrupt. Their own Attorney General is in court trying to reclaim this money that was being paid out.
National Youth Organizer of NPP, Anthony Kabu. A member of the NDC communications team, Felix Ofosu-Kwachi, says the NPP has no moral justification to label the NDC flag bearer John Mahama and the government as corrupt. He said President Mahama has demonstrated impeccable qualities. Therefore, the NPP's assertion has no basis. Mr. Kwachi reacted to these issues on Radio Ghana's current affairs program, Behind the News.
The question to ask is why the MPP, in spite of the many issues that are concerned to the rule of this country, has resorted to vile personality attacks, falsehood, distortions, fabrications, and lies with a view to denting the image of the President of the Republic of Ghana, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama. And I think that is a subject that Ghanaians must take note of and punish the MPP accordingly on December 7, 2012, because it has shown itself completely incapable of sustaining the debate on the issues that matter to the people of this country. I mean, how a serious political party can hold a press conference and say that because a transaction that the government of Ghana entered into with a Korean construction company to help bridge the huge housing deficit, about $1.5 million. And that because that deal has fallen through, it means that the President of the Republic of Ghana is corrupt. I'm completely shocked that any party can say that simply because a deal has fallen through, the President of any country is corrupt. If that logic were to be sustained and indeed applied to the case of the NPP when they were in power, then they would perhaps go down in history as the most corrupt government.
A member of the government communication team, Felix Ofosu-Kwachi. The flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Dodankwa Akufo-Addo, has made a strong case for the legalization of Galamsey operations. He said if elected, his administration will formulate policies that will regulate the industry. Nana Addo was speaking at Akwetia to end his Restoration of Hope tour of the Eastern Region. He denied rumors making the rounds that if elected, he'll abolish Galamsey. Brighton Trauma has sent this report.
The NPP presidential candidate has ended his Restoration of Hope tour in his home region, the Eastern Region, where a lot of women and children were seen mopping the man who has now been nicknamed Mr. Free Education. Residents of the region have been praising Nana Akufo-Addo for promising to make education free up to senior high school level. Many people in all the communities Nana Addo visited endorsed the free education policy as they took turns to declare their support for the policy. Young men and women also held placards in support of his free education policy. At Akinwenchi, Nana Addo told a very charged crowd that his administration will not abolish Galamsey operation, but rather formulate policies that will regulate the activities. He says this will stop the harassment these Galamsey operators face in the hands of security officials.
I have heard NDC say I will abolish Galamsey. How can someone who is seeking to create jobs for the youth scrapped Galamsey? It is not true. What I'm seeking to do is formulate policies that will regulate it. This will prevent the harassment these Galamsey operators suffer in the hands of the police. So if you hear such fabrications, just hoot at that person.
Nana Akufo-Addo praised the people of Akwitia for the support shown him. He asked them to continue to support the NPP and vote massively for the party. The NPP flag bearer took his tour to Takrasi Zongo, where he again denied rumors the NPP is against Muslims. He said the party is the only party which has elevated a Muslim to the position of vice president. This speech touched the heart of a strong member of the NDC in that area in the name of Alhaji Gariba to defect to the NPP. Nanado touched on the Zongo Development Fund to take care of the Zongos. He explained that since the era of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, no government has initiated this policy and his government will commit resources into that. Nanado was accompanied by the NP for the area, Dr. Kofi Asare, NP for Accra, Dan Butre, former Minister of Education, Yao Safumafo, and other regional executives. Nanado will begin his Restoration of Hope tour in the Ashanti region on Thursday.
Rights and Tramas Report. Minister of Defense Lieutenant General Joseph Henry Smith has announced that Ghana will contribute to the ECOWAS standby force to restore peace in Mali. Plans are far advanced to execute this decision by ECOWAS leaders in collaboration with the Ghana Armed Forces. The Minister of Defense announced this yesterday when he took his turn at the Meet the Press series in Accra. He said the deployment of the force is part of Ghana's contribution to global peace and security. General Smith, however, warned pirates not to attempt to enter Ghana's territorial waters. Yvonne Atilego reports.
Lieutenant General Smith further announced that 9,000 troops have been deployed on various peace operations worldwide over 2011 and 2012 period. The troops are serving missions in Liberia, Congo, Cote d'Ivoire, among other countries. He said Ghana's contribution to international peace and security continue to earn admiration of the international community, adding that Mali and for that matter any African country will receive assistance from Ghana as and when the need arises.
The introduction of regionalism in this mission is to reflect the growing influence of regional groupings such as ECOWAS, the AU and the UN. The Ministry of Defense is therefore participating in the following regional bodies and implement policies touching on the regional dimensions of security and functional areas such as African Union and the African Standby Force, ECOWAS and the ECOWAS Standby Force. Preparations are far advanced by the ECOWAS Standby Force for instructions to help restore the situation in Mali.
We've gone very far with the preparations, and if the authority of heads of state on the region, sub-region, approves, we'll be part of the team that will eventually go into Mali.
On the issue of special forces, Lieutenant General Henry Smith explained that the special forces concept is to train military personnel with uncommon distinctive abilities within the Ghana Armed Forces to respond to unexpected scenarios such as attacks on Ghana's oil and gas installations, kidnapping, hostage, among others.
Correspondent Yvonne Atilego reporting. The news will be back after the break.
Radio Ghana, leading the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. South Africa's firebrand politician Julius Malema is due to appear in court today on corruption charges. He's accused of abusing his former position as head of the ruling ANC Youth League. Mr. Malema's supporters say the charges are politically motivated, as he has been a vocal opponent of President Jacob Zuma. The 31-year-old politician is also the subject of a separate tax investigation. Recent attacks on U.S. embassies represent an assault on the very ideals upon which the U.N. was founded. Addressing the U.N. General Assembly, the U.S. President Barack Obama said the wave of anti-American sentiment that has swept through the Muslim world in recent weeks are serious, and the deeper causes of the crises must be addressed. A short web video defaming the Prophet Muhammad sparked violent riots in several Arab and other predominantly Muslim nations earlier this month after it was posted on YouTube. In Libya, armed militants ransacked the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi in an apparently planned attack amid protests of the video. killing the U.S. ambassador to the country, J. Christopher Stevens. To end the news, the main points again. The police service has assured the public of its preparedness for the December polls. The police command yesterday displayed various security apparatus, sending signals of adequate preparedness in case of eventualities during the elections. Vice President Park Kwesi and Mr. Arthur will today begin a three-day working visit to the Western region. As part of his tour, the Vice President will visit the border town of Elibu and meet security agents in the face of recent happenings at the Ghana-Cote d'Ivoire border. The Human Rights Court in Accra has upheld the writ filed against the National Accreditation Board, the Ministry of Education and the Methodist University by 98 students for their dismissal for entry into the college without the requisite qualifications. Minister of Defense Lieutenant General Joseph Henry Smith has announced that Ghana will contribute to the ECOWAS standby force to restore peace in Mali. And South Africa's firebrand politician Julius Malema is due to appear in court today on corruption charges. He's accused of abusing his former position as head of the ruling African National Congress Youth League. The news was presented by Mercy Sowa in Accra.